Recording in progress.
Nine oh three, and we still haven't started the meeting.
Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Oh. Vicki, would you mind saying what meeting and what date, just for the county?
Oh, of course, of course. What is the date? It's the 20th of November, and the meeting is of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board. Yay. Yeah, I thought so.
Hey, Stephanie, can you do the roll call?
Susan Fowler.
Present.
Neil Sharma.
Present.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
I turned it off. Here. Okay, moving on to the approval of the agenda, which is on page.
Could you vote Dr. Sharma in first?
Yes, yes, of course. Welcome to Dr. Sharma, our new member of the board. In order for his participation today, we need to have a vote to include him in the meeting. Okay?
I so move.
Thank you, Susan.
Second.
Thank you, Anne. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, welcome to the meeting. Now we'll move on to the approval of the agenda, which is on page 1 and 2 in the agenda, or in the booklet. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Anne.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Dead. Okay, there we go. So any citizen input? Either in person or online. Okay. Moving on then to my comments. It's good to be back. It's been a rough month medically for me, but I am feeling good now, so it's good to see everybody in person. And other than that, I have no comments. I'll leave it up to you.
Well, I would like to defer my comments because of the there is a lot, although it doesn't look like a lot of action on the agenda, it may require some discussion, and there's a new discussion item. So, hi, everybody. That's it.
All right, then. Moving on to introduction of newly appointed CCDDB member, Dr. Neil Sharma. He is on Zoom today. Would you like to say a few words and introduce yourself to the group, Dr. Sharma?
Oh, sure, yeah. So, hi, my name is Dr. Neil Sharma. I am a newly hired epileptologist here at Carle Foundation Hospital. So, you know, people with developmental disabilities is very near and dear to my heart as a neurologist and personally. So, you know, when I saw this opportunity to help, I was very excited, and so I'm just very excited to join and help with this important cause.
Great. Thank you so much. Any questions for the doctor? No? All right, then. Thank you very much. Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes, page 3 is where that starts. Do we have a motion to approve the last meeting minutes?
Move to approve.
Thank you, Anne.
I'll second.
Thank you, Kim. Any other discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All righty, moving on to
your microphone. Your microphone's off again.
Okay. I
wonder if the paper's
doing I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little sensitive.
Is it? Okay. Well, I'll try and be careful. I'll look at the little red dot before I start talking. Okay. Vendor invoice lists. On page 7, we need a motion to accept the invoice list.
Move to accept.
Second? I'll second it. Why not? Sure. Any other discussion? We need a roll call for this?
No.
No. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All righty. Moving on to staff reports. Always an impressive list of things that the staff does to keep themselves busy. I was very, as usual, excited about it. Are there any questions for staff on their reports at all? Okay, hearing nothing. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Vicki?
Yes.
I do have just a comment real
okay.
quick. So on page 12, Kim, your report, I just wrote, please update us on the IDHS-DDD section, which I know you would. So that was, you reported that the IDHS-DDD said that if people are currently being funded in another way, they might not get DDD funds. So just, I don't know, that kind of, I don't know if we need to worry about that, bring attention to it. Yeah, okay.
We, Lynn and I have a meeting scheduled with Prairie Land, the new ISC agency. I believe it's December 3rd, scheduled for that day to discuss with them. Our providers locally know that if someone is selected from PUNS, the DDB rule is that they accept the state funding and they cannot remain on DDB funding, but we want to make sure that people aren't getting mixed signals from what the state's saying and the DDD rules. So,
thank you.
Yes.
Sorry. We have a transitional funding option for people who are on the waiting list for PUNS until the PUNS money actually starts, and there's usually a lag of, I don't know, for me it was 9 months, for some it may be 12 months. I assume until the PUNS money or the home-based waiver money or the SILA funding actually goes into effect, they can be served through the DD board grant temporarily, can they? Because there's no money coming in.
So our rule of thumb is usually 6 months, but we know that oftentimes that that transition time may be shorter, may be longer. So we try to work with the ISC to keep us posted as far as how long is the process going to take and what's the holdup.
And are they improving the speed with which they bring in new clients? Because with the initial change, it was quite slow.
I've heard yes and I've heard no.
Okay.
So I think it just depends on each situation.
So important meeting.
Yes, very much so.
Anything else from the board? All right, then let's move on to new business. Response to potential threats. This is not in the packet.
This was a last minute addition at the request of a board member for board discussion. So board members are invited to discuss. The chair could suspend the rules and add others to the discussion, but it was, I'll let you introduce. We had not really time to prepare materials to accompany it, and the materials might not really match your intention anyway.
This is Kim. So I brought this up in an email to Vicki and Lynn, I think November 9th or something. So with the election of President Trump and the fact that he has both the House and the Senate, or the Republicans do, I am very concerned about our community members who are undocumented, dreamers, folks that we serve, both as a DD board member and just, I think, as a county in general. And I would like to have a discussion of what we as a board can do to either advocate for folks with IDD who may be threatened, and I guess not just undocumented people who are being threatened with deportation, but just will folks still be able to have federal funding, federal benefits, given the intention of what they might do to HHS. So I would love an open discussion from here. I don't know if agencies are kind of planning for that, but I know that the LA City Council just yesterday passed an ordinance that forbids any city resources to be used to support any immigration services that would separate children from their families or take residents out of this country. So I know we don't have that power as a DD board, but certainly the county does, and we have a county board member here. So I guess I wanted to share this as a concern because I think we need to do this, be together, and support each other. So that's all I had for now. And so I guess I would request that this be a continuing conversation, not that we're going to answer anything now, but we need to kind of be hyper aware. So that's, I guess, all I have to say.
I'm sure it'll be a continuing conversation, and when things start happening at the federal level, we'll have to be prepared with a way to react. Any other comments from the board or the folks in the audience or online?
Well, I just want to thank you, Kim, for bringing this forward because the topic is really too big for us to make any resolutions or really even any plans at this time. But just the idea that we need to be aware, we need to be together, and times are going to be tough. Times are going to be tough for everybody. And people with disabilities are always at the bottom. So we need to continue advocating for people with disabilities in our county. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's really important to as you said, to stick together, to be a part of the advocacy efforts, even if you haven't been very much since. There are opportunities for that. So encourage anybody to contribute to advocacy organizations that exist in the state of Illinois, for sure.
Vicki, I'm just wondering if the Engage Illinois folks who have a direct line to the governor's office, I mean, he has said very strong language of what he would do to protect people who live here in Illinois. So I'm just wondering if that's an avenue.
Absolutely, it
maybe,
is. In fact, I was going to mention something
great,
that's going on with that when we get to that on the agenda.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Agency request for extensions, starting on page 29 in the packet. We've had a request from
Mr. Beckett is here.
Mr. Beckett is here online or in person?
He's here.
He's always here in person.
He got here
okay.
Real early.
Okay, then. All right. Well, please feel free to step up to the microphone, Mr. Beckett.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So my name's Steve Beckett. I'm an attorney here in Urbana. I'm a lifetime county resident. I was on the county board from 2000 to 2010. I'm in general practice as an attorney. Certainly I'm aware of Champaign-Urbana Autism Network. I have a grandson who has received services, and my daughter-in-law is a special education teacher at St. Joseph Ogden High School. So when I was contacted by the executive director who explained the history and problems that the agency had in complying with reporting requirements to the board, I told her that if her board wanted me to, that I would help them. I can tell you that I just received all of the financial information, including the general ledger from the agency last week from Royal Bookkeeping Services. And I'm also online to attend, I think it's December 6th, the training program about the forms. I have no history whatsoever, nor my staff, in completing the necessary forms. I also know there's a requirement of an audit of the expenditure funds. I can tell you that from my history on the county board, from the quarter cent sales tax, we had 5% that went to programs to address juvenile delinquency, and I served on the committee to review those grant applications. Some of them were very sophisticated from agencies, and some were sort of mom-and-pop kind of applications. And I learned very quickly that the reports that are required are extremely important for the oversight that you have. I offer no excuses. I can only offer explanations. It's clear to me from reviewing the history of this that there was an executive director who was the driving force for obtaining the grants, and literally, as the grants were obtained, that executive director stepped away. And then the president of the board, the CUAN board, became the executive director. And while that person, I admire her a lot, she's a great advocate. I'm not exactly as complimentary about administrative skills. I thought she did take some steps to try to come into compliance. She hired somebody who supposedly had experience with grants, and I've looked at all the emails, and it appears to me that this person was talking the talk but not walking the walk. And so none of the reports, as far as I can see, were ever submitted. But it's my goal and my representation to you that those reports are going to be submitted, but yeah, I have to have time to do it. I think I've got the toothpaste. Now the question is, can I get it back in the tube? So I'm hopeful that you'll grant the extension. The CUA and board, in good faith, asked me to help them, and I'm willing to help them, but I need time to do it. Thank you.
Questions from the board? Comments?
Steve, how much time do you think you need to do this?
Well,
because we have a motion actually that lays out a timeline.
Yeah. I'll try to meet your timeline because I'm not unfamiliar with the reports. On December 6th, I think I'm going to find out what it is I've bitten off. And I guess the question is, I would hope that it would be sometime early next year that I'd be able to get this done. The holidays happen to hit, you know, right after that. It's going to be difficult for me. And I have year-end things in my practice generally. So I'll fit whatever timeline you give me, that's what I'll try to meet.
All right. Well, I just want to say that I was very, very excited about CUAN's proposal when they first brought it to the board. It's been a long-standing organization, parent group in town, and with big plans. And I was extremely disappointed in the lack of response. And I understand there are extenuating circumstances and all that, but ultimately our board is responsible for the money that's been outlaid. And so I think that the best we're going to be able to do, in my opinion, is to grant that extension until January 8th, I believe it is. January 8th. And at that point in time, we would have to have all reports and documentation done.
Right. I'm concerned about the audit. Being able to have an audit complete by January 8th, from my own experience.
Not the audit, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything else would have, all the reports would have to be in and complete, and that gives us time to look at those before we have our meeting in January.
Okay.
Vicki?
Yes.
The option number two says until 4:30 p.m. on January 8th to meet the fiscal year 2024 contract requirements related to the first 6 months of the two fiscal year 2024, so it's only right. 6 months.
Right. That's because they were only actually funded for six
okay.
months. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. So there are some. If you want to know the reasons behind some of these motions are just suggestions, but I can tell you where we were coming from as staff when we created the suggestions. And so this would not change the contract requirement for an audit or financial review, which that's based on how much total agency revenue they had for PY24. So we don't really know. We have no idea of any activities or how any money was spent. So we can't really say whether it be an audit or a financial review. But that's due on a different timeline. So I didn't see any reason to change that or to present you with a motion that included language about that. Sorry if that was an oversight.
No, that.
Then we stopped paying after 6 months, because we're getting nowhere with the updates that were needed. So we suspended payments, and so that is my suggestion then. In the second motion of option two is to truncate the contracts to be 6 months so that the third and fourth quarter reports wouldn't be due and we would not owe any more money in the event. There's also like potentially still money owed back depending on whether the services were delivered
sure.
or and what the audit says, but that's you know months and months from now because audits take time and the audit is not due until 6 months after the agency's fiscal year ends. So whether that was January 1 to December 31, which it had been, or whether it was aligned with the contract year. Okay, I've talked too much. I'm sorry.
Okay, very helpful. Anything else from the board? Yeah.
So first, thank you, Lynn, for this really extensive memo that describes step by step. I have a whole list of like dates of things that were requested and things that were not done. And thank you to the staff for working tirelessly on this project. And I'll just concur with Vicki that it's really disappointing to not get any information about something that was done. So I guess I would strongly in our first motion I do not want any more staff time spent on this I think that the ball, after we pass this, if we do, the ball would be in CUAN's court, and I would request that really no other staff time. We've spent enough time.
May I respond to
about
that?
That?
May I respond to that? Mm-hmm. Thank you. The only concern I have about that you don't want any stamp time spent on this is I have to communicate with staff. I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never done these reports. Yeah, I have to be able to communicate with staff.
I mean, are you know, I guess if it's just you, I just, you know, the
That's
other.
Okay, with me.
Okay,
just,
then, yeah.
I agree. Are the other
team members have spent a lot of time in meetings and emails, and I think I can handle it. Like, it's a lot of the things that we do have to communicate about would be like, well, the system is open for PY24, PY25, and PY26 all at once, which is a situation I try to avoid that can't be avoided right now. So, but what happens is sometimes people will select the wrong time frame, and they really need staff to go in and make the change for them. So there are certain things they can't do without us, and I would just offer to take care of that, to be the sole point of contact, if that's okay with you all.
I would agree with that, that it's going to be a very complex time for staff in general because of the new proposal opening up next month. So, yeah, thank you, Lynn, for making that offer, but I don't think that the staff needs to tie themselves up in knots to make this work.
Further, I would promise not to tell them about it, not to waste your time in hearing about it, because you guys, really, we do have to manage the other thing that's happening that can't be avoided is agencies are reporting on their second quarter PY25 while they're applying for PY26 funding, so that's chaotic enough. You guys can deal with that.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So the timeline laid out in the memo suggested that there was just never any response from CUAN. Did staff spend time with CUAN if there was never any response? I'd just like to know.
Yeah, we met with them multiple times. And
you did actually meet?
Yes, multiple times.
To explain the process?
Yes, and several, I don't know, we're more than several, okay. Email communication, like pretty regular email communication, mm-hmm. and reminders, and mm-hmm. and could you please provide a status update? Mm-hmm. So
would you say that we just want to ensure that none of our other fundees, because we fund extensively several other organizations, don't ever lapse into this kind of non-responsiveness? Is this part of what we're establishing? Too, that the reports just have to be made in a timely fashion.
You're so great.
Is that okay for me to respond? You guys, I mean, you guys are actually very involved in this. This has never happened in the time that I've worked for the Mental Health Board and DD Board. This has never happened. We've had a couple of similar situations on the Mental Health Board side, but nothing like this, and we really didn't know what to do after a certain point except to continue to reach out and say, you know. So maybe we need some guidance for what to do in the future, but we could do that later, mm-hmm. if you want, like just how you would like us to handle if this were to happen again, because people are complicated and life is messy.
I think that's a good plan. I think that's a good plan, and I think that we should at this point assume that with an attorney, we will get a report. And then obviously if we don't get a report in a timely fashion, then there's another step to take. But
mm-hmm.
I'd like to defend this the CUAN board. They thought they were getting someone that they hired to be a grant manager that was going to do the reports, that was represented to them, was going to do the necessary reports. That's the person who I don't want to name any names, that's the person who I said, talk the talk. But then those reports were never done, and so the CUN board is left in a lurch looking horrible to the community as if they don't care, and that's simply not true.
Mm-hmm. At what point did the CUN board become aware that he had resigned?
I'm not talking about the former executive director. I'm talking about this grant manager person who made the representations that that person was going to be able to straighten all of this out. And that would have been last spring, I would say, the April, May.
No, it was October or November. It was a year ago.
That person came on board?
Mm-hmm.
Again,
yeah.
I've got this stack of documents that I've reviewed to try to see how it happened. But it's pretty clear from the emails that I saw between the executive director and this person and with your staff that the person was asking relevant questions, and the representation, at least of the executive director, was that this was going to get done, and then all of a sudden, and that person, I think, had health problems. There was sort of continuous emails about significant health problems. So I don't want to really get into it. I just don't want you to get the idea that the board just didn't care. That isn't true. They really did care. They very much appreciated the grant, very much were looking forward to having success under the grant, and obviously they otherwise failed.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah. This is like just to explain why January 8th. It's so like because that I appreciate what you're saying, and I don't know like how far we could actually take this, but if so, for this board to for me to report back to this board about the results on their next board meeting. Well, not their next one. You might be meeting in December, but the January meeting, I believe, is the 20th, so we go back. Like, we try to prepare the board packets over a week in advance so that they have time to read them because, as you can see, they're very long, and so we don't avoid technical jargon either, so they do need a decoder ring, too. So we, because of that self-imposed deadline of a week in advance, for me and the staff, they might be reviewing, I don't know if that's okay with you guys, reviewing the submitted reports. We would need a couple of days to look at the reports, and I've shared with them if they're on vacation or whatever, I'll do it, it's okay. But a couple of days to review the reports for completeness and for any potential. Sometimes the reports tell us something that we might say, well, what does this mean? So for us to say anything meaningful to them at their January meeting, January 8th would be the like kind of last minute for me to be able to access, review, and write something up by the following Monday. So that was the logic for that. There was also, I think, may I share this? Just some concern because of the applications that people are working on at the same time.
That was
your concern,
definitely,
right? Okay.
Definitely.
With staff.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it sort of looks arbitrary, but it was really just based on how we get something meaningful in front of them again.
And initially in some discussions, there were people who said, well, let's force their hand and say, let's do this by the December meeting. But we thought, you know, we'll give at least a couple more weeks and let, you know, the time be there to make this happen, even though it's certainly a busy time for a lot of folks. So
I completely understand.
Yeah.
I completely understand.
Okay. So are we ready for a motion then? Yes? So
are we discussing option one versus option two?
You certainly can.
So are we going to go in order, option one, and then?
Just
read what they are.
Yeah, okay. And I apologize if they're awkward. This was,
they're fine.
Once again, like uncharted territory, sure what to do.
Okay, so option one is motion to deny CU Autism Network's request for additional support and time to complete all required reports and budget revisions and to affirm that all payments received on fiscal year 2024 contracts should be returned. Option two is motion to allow CU Autism Network until 4:30 p.m. on January 8, 2025 to meet fiscal year 2024 contract requirements related to the first 6 months of the two PY 2024 contracts. And if we approve that, the next recommendation would be a motion to approve contract amendments to lower the CU Autism Network's fiscal year 2024 contract maximums to the amounts already paid out to allow for reporting on only the first 6 months of fiscal year 2024, including the CLC mid-year progress report and year-end performance outcome reports. So, given those options, what motion do we want to make? Is there anybody in favor of option one?
I'll just say that I'll make the motion to deny CU Autism Network's request for additional support and time to complete all required reports and budget revisions, and to affirm this all payments received on program year 2024 contracts should be returned. So I'm making a motion.
Do we have a second? I'm not hearing a second on that one, but thank you for offering it up, Kim. I will make a motion that we take option two, motion to allow CU Autism Network until 4:30 p.m. on January 8, 2025 to meet fiscal year 2024 contract requirements related to the first 6 months of the two fiscal year 2024 contracts. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I thought about this a lot because I have known about it for a little while, and this is a very unusual situation. And I think Mr. Beckett is presenting not only as an attorney, but as he presents himself as a grandparent, parent, and community advocate, and I do appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, I received a notice for the CU Autism Network's holiday party with the sensory whatevers. And, you know, so I know they're doing good work out in the community. That being said, we would like to support smaller organizations doing good work in the community, and I would like to go on record as a board member saying that. And having been a person out in the community doing things, I know how hard it is to keep records and to make reports or to do quality improvement activities or whatever, but it's essential that that happen. And I think Dr. Fowler's comment was very clear that, you know, the function of this board is not only to promote good things for citizens with developmental disabilities, we have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers of the County of Champaign. And this organization did not do even the minimum with the maximum amount of staff support, way over the maximum amount of staff time and support to help them. They came up with nothing. So it's a difficult situation. It sounds like the organization is really making their last effort through your help to pull things together and not have to give the money back. So I am speaking in support of giving this small citizen-led organization the chance to pull their act together with the help and support of community members such as yourself, Mr. Beckett. But this is not a situation that can be repeated.
And I would add that at our January meeting, if these reports have not been completed, we're not going to be nearly as kind. So, anyway, any other comments before we take our vote? Yeah, Kim?
Yes, so thank you, and I completely agree with everything you just said. I would just like to make an amendment to this that only staff support through Lynn would be given to CUAN. So I think what I liked about the first motion is that no additional support would be provided was part of that motion, and I don't see that language in option two. And again, I just want to make some kind of amendment that no additional staff support except for the executive director be allowed.
Anne?
Kim, I appreciate your feeling with that, and I'm not going to agree with you because I think that's micromanagement on the part of the board toward Lynn, and I trust Lynn to manage her own time and to allocate staff time appropriately. Maybe Mr. Beckett can understand that he's supposed to contact Lynn, and then Lynn can decide how she wants to deal with it. I trust Lynn and our staff.
I do too, and I understand you think that it's micromanaging. I'm simply trying to protect staff that have already spent a lot of time.
Other thoughts on that? So we're going to forego the amendment then?
But if I don't, I guess, is there a second for the amendment? Okay.
All right, then. I think we may be ready to go ahead with a vote.
Probably abundance of caution.
Or read that again? Okay. Yeah. The motion to allow CU Autism Network until 4:30 p.m. on January 8th, 2025, to meet fiscal year 2024 contract requirements related to the first 6 months of the two fiscal year 2024 contracts. All those in favor, say aye.
Maybe just in an abundance of caution, do a roll call.
Okay. Let's do a roll call, Stephanie.
Is that okay?
Susan Fowler.
Yes. Approve.
Neil Sharma.
Yes, here.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Beckett. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, the second motion then is to approve contract amendments to lower the CU Autism Network fiscal year 2024 contract maximums to the amounts already paid out to allow for reporting on only the first 6 months of fiscal year 2024, including the CLC mid-year progress report and year-end performance outcome reports. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Second. Go ahead. Okay.
And any discussion on it? No? All those in favor say aye. Or do we need a roll call on that one? No, it's fine. Roll call, please.
Neil Sharma?
Yeah.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. All right, moving on to strategic plan updates on page 33. Hope everybody had time to look over the recommended changes for that. Shall we do the motion first and then discussion? That's probably the way we should do it.
This is Kim. Motion to approve the attached draft strategic plan for fiscal years 2022 to 2025 with fiscal year 2025 objectives.
And is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Anne. Okay, now conversation. What questions, issues, comments do you have?
Vicki?
Yes.
I just want to note that I truly appreciate the effort to update the language, to simplify the language, and to very directly include those individuals who receive services but are close to independence, and without those services might not ever achieve independence,
mm-hmm.
because we are hoping that, you know, for those for whom it's possible, that the support provided through the different goals will enable them to be as independent as possible. And I don't think that we've clearly included those close to independence before. And I think that's just important for the agencies also to take note of, because we do have people who are teetering. Mm-hmm. And so we have people with very significant disabilities, and I certainly don't want to in any way compromise their services or the goals for them, but I'm glad that we're acknowledging the continuum.
Any other comments? I just want to note that I was marking all the different places where we had changed that language mm-hmm. to include, you know, getting input from people with disabilities. Mm. And there are quite a few sections that, of this new strategic plan that say that. I wonder if at some point we need to think about having some other form of input other than that, you know, once a year presentation by self-advocates. Is there something that, you know, do we need to have a advisory committee? I don't know what the answer is, but it seems to me that...
I could go on and on.
You could go on and on, I know. But just let's keep it in mind for a future discussion about how we can do that.
May I react?
Sure.
Okay.
Just, we are involved with community needs assessment activities every year, even though we only bring you a formal needs assessment every 3 years. It's using secondary data, because one of the big things about this community is people feel over-surveyed already. You might not know it, but there's a large research institution not far away that has a lot of money to pay people to tell them the same kind of things we want to know from people, and we can't compete with that. So by the time we get to people, and some of the agencies also have to do annual surveys of people, so it is very hard to get people to answer questions in any other way than, hey, come see us, I have some treats for you. So we could invite people to more board meetings. I think that might get us the kind of rich data that we're seeking. But I think that the traditional community needs assessment approaches are falling short, because just for the simple reason that everybody's asking them, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is, but...
More snacks.
Either that or Zoom meetings with just one or two board members that could report back to the whole board. So, yeah, just thinking out loud here. Okay, so we have a motion on the table and a second to approve the attached draft strategic plan for fiscal year 2022 through 25 with fiscal year 2025 objectives. Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on to the allocation priorities and decision support criteria, which is starting on page 50. Let's see, where's the motion on that? I guess it's at the end. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the CCDDB program year 2026 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in this memorandum. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, discussion. I just have one comment on this, there was some reference to people communicating or participating in community groups or organizations on page 52, and I think there were, 14 different organizations listed, 10 of which really are organizations for people with disabilities, so not really community things. But though I do want to mention, especially in comments, reports from Developmental Services Center, there were a lot of good examples of people that were engaging in community activities that didn't somehow make it into this part of the report. So I appreciate your efforts. I enjoy reading those comments more than I like looking at the numbers. So there's my admission for you there.
These are from a particular assessment.
Right, right, yeah. But I'm glad to see that there's progress being made in that area. So thank you very much for that. Any other comments? All right, then let's go. Oops, got one?
I just wanted to highlight the unmet needs on page 51, which continue to be pretty shocking, and a reason for us to be supporting Engage Illinois and any efforts to increase services.
Because advocacy period, yes.
Advocacy period. If we have 114 people with no place to go if their housing falls apart this year, we're in really bad shape.
Yep. Okay, are we ready for a vote on the motion to approve the CCDDB program year 2026 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in this memorandum? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carried.
Next on the list is the Engage Illinois, Speak of the Devil. This is the most recent document that I've been sent, but you may want to check this over. This is not an organization per se. It is a collaboration of a number of organizations, and they are working very hard based upon the first meeting that we had back in May, I believe, in person. There is going to be a follow-up Zoom meeting, and I know that the directors of this meeting intend for it to be people who were in that first meeting in May in Springfield. There were about 50 people there. I would suggest that it would not be beyond the scope of reality for people who are just interested in learning more to participate in this Zoom meeting if you have questions or you want to learn more about what's going on, because honestly, I think it's the only way that this effort is going to succeed is if we have everybody possible on board to make that advocacy effort. So mark in your calendar December 4th. There's going to be a Zoom meeting from 3 to 4 p.m. I have not been sent that link yet, but I will, as soon as I get it, we'll get it to Lynn. I'm sure Lynn will be copied on it anyway, and I'm sure she'll send it out to the agencies. And
never assume.
So no.
If you get it, send it to me.
If I get it, I will send it, and hopefully we'll get it. I'll actually contact Sharon this week and see if we can get that nailed down. So really important discussion to have for sure. All right. Moving on to, where are we in the program here? Got through that. The capacity building project update. Do we have someone from the evaluation team? No? Yes? Oh, she's here. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hit it again?
There you go.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy to be here. The evaluation capacity building project is going very well. Tomorrow we're having a virtual training with agency representatives who have been funded by the two boards to go through a measures repository that had been previously developed, and also going through best practices in choosing outcomes and choosing outcome measures. So we'll be having a hands-on virtual workshop with 19 people have RSVP'd across 15 different agencies, so we're really excited about it. And we've given them a little bit of homework, which are some of the micro learnings, which we have showcased for you as well. And then we will afterwards have a launching of a new micro learning that will go through logic models, including more about outcomes. So stay tuned for that. So we're very excited about that. And we've continued our technical assistance, which is going very well, and been doing a lot of different types of work in terms of capacity building. So
So the hands-on part is the homework, right?
So no, during the both. So during the workshop, we'll have them actually looking through and doing different activities so that they can do more hands-on work with the repository and also looking at different instruments. So.
Any questions? All right. Thank you very much for the update. We appreciate it. Disability Resource Expo update. Is anybody here to provide that? Kim?
I wasn't really prepared.
Chandra's on the Zoom calls, though.
Well, that is true. This is the first one I've ever missed.
Well, your family was there.
My family was there, yes.
I think things went well. It appeared that we may have had a lower turnout than in previous years, but it was the weekend before Halloween, and there was several other events happening in the community, and I think that's always going to be a struggle no matter which weekend is chosen. I think our community is full of activities, and so I think we're always going to be competing with something. I think we had a great group of volunteers. I know at one point Becca mentioned that we probably could have used a few more at the end of the day during the wrap-up of picking everything up and carrying it out of the mall. But I think overall things went well, and I know in the morning we did have a great group of volunteers, so I should have paid more attention that I was...
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I knew it was on the agenda. This was put together, 2 weeks ago, and my mind remembers like 5 minutes ago.
Stephanie and Chandra are both on the
Zoom, and they were also involved and might want to give us updates on the expo. I have one update, which is that the beautiful necklace I'm wearing was made by one of the artists who was selling stuff there, and I really kind of, I went broke over there. there's always a lot of good stuff. I love it. So, yeah.
I don't necessarily have an update on the day, but the update I do want to just let people know about is that I'm at the Advancing Equity conversation. I did discuss how CCMHB and DDB actually fund the expo and why that's important as a way of reducing disparities in our community by actually having resource expos that are planned by people living with disabilities. And so I just wanted to make sure that I let you all know that I talked about that. As always, we're going to probably have a closeout meeting just on ways we can increase volunteer participation in areas we need it. One of the things that we are learning, though, is that because there are so many resource expos, we just have to continue to make it a point to communicate our unique part, which is people living with disabilities actually planning the event. This is not us planning events for people living with disabilities, but they are people planning the event that are living with disabilities and other abilities. That's all.
Okay, thank you. All right, program service reports start on page 69 in the packet. Any comments or questions on that information? Hearing nothing, we'll go on to claims data starting on page 90 of the packet. Oh, yes.
Sorry. No, I don't have anything. I have a work thing that I need to go to at 11:05, so I have to leave. So I'm so
we'll
sorry to leave early, everybody. So.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I guess we're ready for successes and other agency information.
Thank you. Becca with Community Choices. I just had a few updates just kind of about a few of our different programs. We've been busy in employment. We had three people get actually pretty good jobs in the last month or so. We had an individual get hired full-time as a building services worker at the university, which is always kind of a difficult to attain job with those. I think it's part of the civil service union, which is excellent. So we're really looking forward to that. He gets started, I believe, on Monday or Tuesday. We also got somebody a job. We supported them to get hired at as a mail sorter with the post office. And then another individual was hired at Rally House at the mall. So those things are all getting started, and really we're hoping they all go really well. We've been really busy in our community support department. We've had a lot of people with more slightly more complicated like medical needs, so they've just been having a lot of appointments. We've been sort of helping people get to those and supporting them while they're there. We've also been getting started with a few new clients and kind of getting to know them and helping figure out what how we can be most supportive of them and kind of what their goals are. And then sort of not so much on the grant side of thing, but on the waiver side of thing, helping people get started with their 2025 home-based support budgets. All of those change at the calendar year, and so there's a lot of paperwork that goes along with that. It's always kind of a busy time for that area. In our Connect department, our human rights and advocacy group, which you all heard from a lot of them back at the August meeting, I believe, we've kind of started doing a new sort of initiative with them, where we're sort of having other people who do activism and advocacy within the community come and visit and sort of help them sort of get to know their work a little bit better and see the different ways that people engage in advocacy and how there's lots of different sort of methods and approaches that people take to achieve their goals. And so we're really excited to have Josh Gavel from the UP Center, Uniting Pride, come at the beginning of November. And people really... we're very engaged. We're really excited to kind of hear about his work. And so we have some other people coming throughout the next few months that we are looking forward to. And then, we've also been working on a collaborative event with the IMC, which is actually tomorrow night. We're doing a karaoke night as one of our social opportunities, but it's also open to the public. So if you're interested in doing karaoke, you're welcome to attend. so that'll be kind of a fun thing. We've had people ask for karaoke quite a bit. And then we've been working, I've been working with a subcommittee of the TPC to really start planning in earnest the sort of family informational event that we'll be having on April 1st in the spring. So we kind of alternate a family-focused event and then a student-focused event. So last spring we did a student-focused one, so we'll be back at the Champaign Library with a group of parents sharing their experiences as well as, providing some resources. So I think that's it.
Great.
Good morning. I'm LaShonda Hall with PACE, Center for Independent Living. I'm a PSW specialist, and I just wanted to report two successful matches that we've had since the last meeting. And also, we have our advisory committee meeting coming up on December 11th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. And our topic is going to be planning for an emergency. Oh, and we're going to have our special guests are going to be Greg Scott and Dana Williamson from the Carl Faith Community Nursing Network.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Annette Becker from DSC. Just another reminder that the open house at the Crow is Sunday, December the 8th from 11 to 5. It's kind of like our groups. The more people get involved, the more ideas they have, and it just kind of snowballs. It's like energy creates energy. There are too many different items to describe, but lots of new woodworking ideas. And we've got some very talented staff, and we have some very talented people who participate in the program. I mean, the energy and excitement that they have, they're always showing what they make. I would just suggest that you stop by, even if you don't buy anything, to see what they've created is pretty special. Thank you.
And you said the hours are 9 to 5 that day?
No, 11 to 5, yes.
11 to 5.
Hi there. My name is Annie Bruno. This is impromptu. I just thought I'd do this. I work at the Arc of Illinois. We are not funded at all by CCDDB, but I just wanted you to be aware of some things I can do to kind of fill in the gaps, if there are any. I can offer free presentations on puns and what is it and why does it matter and how to get off of puns and what happens when you get selected and how to pursue waiver services and know what's the right option for you and your loved one. And coming in December, we can begin to expect early notification letters for the upcoming PUNS poll for July of 25. So if you hear of families that need to kind of know what that means or any organizations that could benefit from a parent presentation or a PUNS presentation, I'm happy to help. Thanks.
Do you know, Annie, how many names they're going to pull?
We've not been told yet.
Yeah.
Last year, I think it was 1,315, mm-hmm. which had been kind of an uptick from about 1,000 that they hovered at for the last couple years. And yeah. we have not heard anything about a children's poll. Mm-hmm. They had done that in the last most recent 2 years. So
yeah. okay.
unclear.
Thank you.
Good morning, Patty Walters at DSC. I just wanted to, last week we had our Tree of Hope, our annual event, and one of the things that we always do is honor an individual that receives services with us. And there was a gentleman who just is about to celebrate his 71st birthday that lives independently. He is meticulous about his yard work. He has a bird that is an important pet in his life. He is still working with support from community employment, and he is also receiving community living supports and has recently started participating in some of the group activities too. And I think he, when we shared information with him about us wanting to honor him, I mean, he really kind of listened and asked why. And by the end, he said, I really do deserve this award. And it was, but it's true. And it was so nice that he felt and sensed that. And this is a gentleman that the week before did an Elvis concert for a lot of people. He does that annually. He has the white polyester suit, and he's a big fan and shares his talents that way with lots of people. And so I just, that celebration was really touching last week, and I wanted to share that because as he's aging, he's still just as active and involved in things and still needing that support, and we know that that's going to continue to change and evolve over time as he ages, and just his recognition of all he's accomplished was the biggest success, I think, of even recognizing him. So it was a fun share and wanted to do that for you. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, well then I think it's time to what?
You have a tentative board meeting on December 18th.
Oh yes, okay, that's true. We have to make a decision on that, don't we?
There's a tentative meeting listed, so I'm not sure what formally you have to do about that, but you, I guess, cancel it or keep it. This would be a great time to tell me. Keep it or cancel. And I just don't know formally if you have to vote to cancel it or however you want to handle it. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If we have business, we should hold it. If we don't have business, we should cancel it.
Everything done today.
You got everything done? I think we're good then. Shall we go ahead and cancel it? It's canceled.
And this is Leah Taylor's last meeting.
Oh, what? What does that mean for us? Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was waiting for county board input. I don't actually have input, but I did just want to remind people that the new board is being sat December 2nd. for the county board. We just had elections. This is every 2 years. I just kind of wanted to let y'all know this is my last DDB meeting, and thank you so much for being so welcoming over the past couple years, and I really appreciate you guys. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mental Health Board input. Lynn.
They're meeting tonight, and they had a meeting the same time you did in October, but lost their quorum, so they weren't able to take action on a couple of items. So they have a lot tonight, like thoughts and prayers, just because it is a lot. I think it's almost all of them are working all day, and then they come over and they're sitting here till 8 or later. So, I hope that they can get through everything. But it's, as you do, they have important things to discuss too. So anyway, that's the whole update. My hope is that if both boards have approved priorities, then we're clear to post the notice of funding availability as it has been written in the. You're ready, so we could post one on your behalf. It'd be great if they could go up as one combined, like it cuts the cost in half. So, but I'm not comfortable to post that until the priorities have been approved and made public, because I think that's all part of open information about the procurement process. So then with ANOFA, at least for you, posted this weekend, we can open the application system on December 20th, at least for the DD board. It'd be great if it was for both boards. So I mean, that's it.
Okay, any board announcements? All right, then, hearing nothing, I imagine that we will be adjourned. It's 10:11-ish. So thank you very much for your attendance, your patience, and your input.
Recording stopped.